go this morning.
I know. I didn't say one, two, three, go. Funny. I just said go. Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Robert Shore. You're watching the Robert Shore Ministries, a church with no walls. This is our Sunday morning worship service. And no matter where you are in the world, we just want to say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever it is for you, we just want to welcome you to this time as we come together and worship God.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Donna Schuler. Welcome to church. We're glad you're here. And Robert already introduced himself. So,
and this is Donna. She's a very integral part of this entire ministry. She does all the work, and I get all the credit. Anyway,
we're partners.
We definitely are partners. And
Jesus said, you got to send people out two by two, right?
That's right.
We got our two right here.
This is the two of us. Yeah. So we literally go around the world sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can come and we can worship you. You are our God and we are your people. And so, oh God, we invite you into our hearts, into our lives. We knock on the door, and you've said that those who knock on the door will be opened. And so we come to you, oh Lord, for our freedom, for our joy, for our success, for our love, for our families, for our country, for the world. So we love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So anyway, do we have any announcements this morning you could think of?
No, I think I'll announce again that I'm starting the Fearless Minute, and it's on my Instagram channel. It'll be the Fearless Minute. It's not set up yet, but go ahead and subscribe to Donna Schuler Nutrition. Yes, I'm a nutritionist by trade, by education, but I specialize in nutrition of the body, mind, soul, and spirit, because really, more importantly than what we put in our mouth, what we eat, the nutrition we take in that way, is what we put in our soul, our spirit, and our emotional selves. So I like to address all areas. So I'm starting the Fearless Minute. It'll just be 1 minute, little videos, Monday through Friday. So anyway, please go ahead and follow me, Donna Schuler Nutrition, on Instagram. And it's the first time I've branched back out and done something besides what we do together, the Robert Schuler Ministries. You know, I had a practice before. I had a very active website. I actually was one of the first bloggers in 2009. So I have all kinds of things I'm going to transfer over. And my website is called healthyfamilyhappylife.org. But I'm going to be changing the name of that also to the Fearless Minute. And I'll still have all my blogs on there because you hate to get rid of anything.
Well, you're not going to get rid of
years. No. It's just, anyway, I have somebody working on that. So join me. And it's part of our ministry. Everything I do is part of our ministry. Everything is based on donations. And I still do my nutrition, coaching that way with other people as well.
So let me begin by giving our opening sentence. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I have been saying that for nearly 50 years. It's unbelievable that I've been in the ministry that long. But God is good, and He is faithful. And this morning, I'm gonna talk a little bit. Well, maybe we should give a shout out to some of the people who are in our chat room. Dana Van Huel, it's good to see you on there. And we've got somebody new I'm not familiar with, Johnny Longfeather and Mary Armstrong. And I'm sure there's a few people who participated in our chats. But
I don't know how they get on there, since we use a streaming platform that puts us out on like six different platforms at once. And this is a good time to tell people, you really, preferably, we want you to watch us on our website, drschuler.org, and that's drschuller. The reason for that is we oftentimes get censored for what we say, for what he says in particular. We've been taken down off of YouTube and Facebook both, which affects Instagram as well, for some of the messages he's given. Sometimes we don't understand why. Other times we understand why. But the fact is they take us down. So if you go to our website, You can see it live there, and you're supporting our website by watching there, the eyeballs that are watching. And it's a little confusing. We're trying to clean this up a bit, but if you go to drschuler.org, or you can use robertschulerministries.org, they take you to the same landing page. There's some tabs on the top, and you click on, I believe you click on church services or online services, and then it'll scroll down and you'll see things like the call, and it should say live church is what we want it to say. And if you click on it during the week, you'll see nothing. It'll say they're not presently live. So you can only see that on our website. And if you're there, thank you for watching this way. You can only see it 8 a.m., between 8 a.m. and whenever we sign off on Sunday morning. And then it'll direct you on how to see them on YouTube or wherever they get cataloged, you know. There's only so much technology we can take.
Yeah, we got.
It's not our thing, but yet we have to do it. So anyway, we have somebody.
My most frustrating days are when I get stuck in technology.
Oh, gosh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
But it happens.
It zaps all your creative energy.
And here I've noticed that it's, most of them are coming, most of our chat participants are coming off of Facebook.
Interesting.
We have two from We have a couple from YouTube, so
okay.
It's YouTube and
okay. Well, just know that it's a good thing you're live, because after this is over on those two channels, just so you know,
they may take it down.
We're getting shadow banned, meaning they only show this to a very small section of our followers. Like honestly, as in a few, and the rest of the thousands of followers don't even get to see this. They're not even presented at. That's called shadow banning. And another thing is we're straight out blocked, censored, taken down. That's another thing they do, these platforms. So just so you know that. But thank you for watching. We love you all. Watch whatever, however you can. And it's a good thing you're live, because like I said, I don't know what he's going to say today.
Yeah,
no
well,
idea.
Yeah. Well, what I do is I try to bring some current events into what's going on in the world. And today, there's so much I could have talked about today, but I'm going to actually just give a book report on a book I haven't read. And I know that sounds peculiar, but I've listened to several interviews and I've done some studying, a little bit of studying on it. So I feel like I can I have enough to share two or three minutes with you and encourage you to read the book. But the author is a guy by the name of, Dr. Michael Niles. And he is a molecular geneticist, and he is a German doctor of medicine. He, from 83 to 89, he studied medicine at the University of Freiburg and Heidelberg, and in 1997, he achieved the postdoctoral lecture qualification in molecular genetics. He's authored over 50 scientific publications, two of which were published with the Nobel Prize winners Paul Greengard and Martin Evans. In 2015, his work was honored by the American Association of Immunologists, so he is also very involved in immunology, and that was for his work with the, and he is recognized as a pillar of human immunologic research. For leading investigators to the discovery of a key molecular switch required for the development of adaptive immune systems. So this is Dr. Michael Niles. And the book he has written that I'm talking about today is called The Indoctrinated Brain. Now, why is it called The Indoctrinated Brain? I'll get into that. First, Let me go back just a hair and show you a picture of this. This is the Hippodrome at Caesarea. So if you go to Israel, if you go on a Holy Land tour, the chances are they'll take you to Caesarea. Excuse me, I'm still coughing.
This six is just, weeks later,
it's
coughing.
Driving me nuts.
It's driving me nuts too.
Yeah, I know. So this is the Hippodrome in Caesarea Philippi. Those of you who went on our Holy Land tour with us, I noticed in the chats there was a couple of you there. We walked right through the middle of this. This is called a Hippodrome because you can see the track that the horses would run around. And the word horse in Greek is hippo, and also the Romans and or in other words, Latin adopted that. So therefore, this is called a hippodrome. It's a drome where the horses would, they would have their races and chariot races. Now, why is that important? Because Dr. and you, do you pronounce his last name Niles?
Nils.
Nels. Dr. Nile Nels. Sorry, Dr. Nels talks about the hippocampus. The hippocampus is in the brain. And you can see the hippocampus there. There's actually, I think there's two hippocampuses in our brain, from what I understand. And the reason it's that part of the brain is called the hippocampus is because it looks like a seahorse. And that's why they call it a hippocampus, a seahorse. And so what he does is he talks about he basically talks about memory and how we can maintain our memory and the fact that the hippocampus requires new cells to be developed in order to store more memory. And if the body is working well, if the brain is working well, we will continue to build hippocampus cells. We will continue to build new cells until the day we die, even if you're 120. Therefore, you just keep adding more memories all the time. He goes on to say that what happens is we start off the morning after having a good night's rest with plenty of memory cells to start recording our memories. And by late afternoon, we've run out of new cells, and so we no longer are really able to generate new memories. So what happens is we replace old memories with the current memories. And then at night, what we do is we regenerate all of those cells again. In the morning, we start collecting new memories. Now, theoretically and historically, the human mind has always had an enlarging hippocampus. What's happened in the last few decades is that we have discovered, that scientists have discovered, that the hippocampus, instead of growing, is actually shrinking. And that is a problem for many reasons. First of all, let me show you some articles here. One of the reasons that is a major problem, let's show this thing's a little slow. Show already, let me hit it again, see if that does it. There it is. Chronic depression shrinks brain's memories and emotions. And let's see this one. Major depression tied to smaller hippocampuses. So we have an epidemic in the world today, specifically in the Western culture, of depression. And it's hard to know which comes first, the chicken or the egg. Does the hippocampus shrink and that causes depression, or is it our emotions and our depression causing the hippocampus to shrink? I'm inclined to think that the hippocampus shrinks first and that causes the depression. So there are things we can do to prevent our hippocampus from shrinking. That's the good news that I want to share with you today, because it leads to almost all your Alzheimer patients all have a small hippocampus. Their hippocampus fails to continue to grow. One of the things, and the reason he named his book The Indoctrinated Mind, is because as the hippocampus quits growing, one of the main symptoms is we lose our curiosity. Yeah, we lose our curiosity, which means we quit asking questions. And as a result of that, for dictators to be able to implement something that would stop the hippocampus from growing is a very positive thing, because if you quit asking questions, you simply do what you're told and you fall in line. And that's why the book is entitled The Indoctrinated Mind. So, we're going to ask a question, Donna.
I was just going to say, I think it's important to talk about, as part of that, that's one of the reasons when you're you know, to create happy memories during the day, and in the evening when you're exhausted and right before bedtime, don't watch negative news. Don't look at your cell phone.
Because
don't scroll through Instagram and compare yourself to people. Don't do any of that stuff, because you're going to bed.
And what you're doing is you're replacing the positive memories of earlier in the day with the negative memories at night before you go to bed. And then those are implanted within your hippocampus. And you don't want to do that. And then again, those negative emotions may be one of the reasons why our hippocampus is not growing.
Exactly. That's what I think.
But
I'm the chicken or the egg the other way.
Oh, you think it's the negative?
I do.
Yeah. We, you know.
But who knows?
But here's what we do know is vitamin D insufficiency may amount for almost 9 of 10 COVID-19 deaths. And we know that vitamin D, in his book, he goes on to say that vitamin D is crucial for hippocampus growth and vitality. So if you're not supplementing your diet with vitamin D.
D3 with vitamin K. It's important.
Okay. Did you hear that? Listen to her.
D3. No, that's it. That's all I want to say.
No. I love this.
D3 with K. You can't just go buy D3. It has to work together in harmony with K. So D3 with K. And if you have any questions about that, let us know. We take one from Metagenics, and that's a nutraceutical company that I trust that I've been using for 25 years. So, and you can't get it in the grocery store.
And anyway, you have, but you also have a Metagenics account. So people
this isn't about selling.
It's not a commercial. I know that.
So we never do that.
I know, but I don't tell anybody. I think we need to do that in this case.
I definitely have a site. That's where I get my vitamin D3 with K. My family all goes there, and I have a couple of people that I see through my ministry that go there. But otherwise, we don't ever do anything to promote this. So please don't think this is a commercial. But you can get that, and if you contact me, then I'll give you the site. I'm not going to even, I don't want to be commercial.
I understand. No problem.
Yeah, I'm a terrible salesperson. Let's just put it that way. So it's a good thing I'm not in sales.
So anyway, that's my message for you today. You can maintain a long, healthy brain. Early onset dementia of any form has to do with the hippocampus. Mm-hmm. You want to develop a healthy hippocampus by living a healthy life, thinking positive thoughts, and supplementing your diet with vitamin D. And
can I say something else
about
curiosity?
Yes.
Curiosity isn't just asking the right questions. It's wanting, it's having a curious mind and wanting to start new things. People who get stuck in ruts, whether it's lack of travel, lack of reading interesting articles like this book, lack of learning new things, those people are lacking in curiosity. So curiosity could just be, hey, you know what? I've always wanted to take horseback riding. Let's just throw that out. And you learn to take horses. You do horseback riding.
Since we're talking about
I wanted
horses.
To swim. Start swimming. I want to go back and play tennis. Okay, start playing tennis. Whatever it is you want to do. Play the drums. I'm going to learn how to play the drums. I'm just saying that. I'm not going to be a great drummer. I'm not going to start a band or anything. But you have to be curious about your surroundings. And it doesn't matter how old you are. That's what you're saying. You need to continue to develop your happy memories, to be curious about life and not to be stuck and set in your ways and think you know it all. That's where you really get in trouble, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'll let you preach. Oh, no, I haven't read the scripture.
Yeah. So,
oh, my gosh. This is late. Oh, dear. We got to get going. We've talked too much about this intro.
No, not really.
We're in church.
We're doing good.
And God wants you to live a long, healthy life. And you cannot be healthy you don't have a healthy brain. I don't know about you, but I think that might be probably one of the most difficult things, is to be healthy in your body and all of a sudden your mind goes and you can't, I don't need to explain that to those of you that have been affected by any kind of multiple brain disease in your family, and that would include any type of dementia, including Alzheimer's.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and read our scripture?
Love to do that. Okay, John 10, 1 through 10. See, I almost ran away thinking we already did it. It was so late. John 10, 1 through 10. And Robert is continuing his series on the I Ams of Jesus. So it's a very powerful, very, very powerful series that he's been delivering. So here are these words, John 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and they will go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." My memorized it, have it abundantly. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you. Thank you that you have a voice that we can listen to, and you're the right voice. We have so many negative things going on in our societies, in our lives, maybe even in our families, and for sure in our hearts and our souls. So, Lord, we just want your Holy Spirit to continue to be the loudest voice for us to tune into it. We have a decision to make, and we can be deliberate, and we can be intentional, and we can start our day, each day, not just Sunday, but every day, tuning into your voice. Through tuning into your voice, we create happy memories. We create positive memories. We create curiosity for ourselves and wanting to be the best version of ourselves possible. And how do we do that, Lord? We do that, Lord, by taking the time, being deliberate, being intentional, resting, breathing, believing, being convinced that you're the one. You're the one that controls all things. You are the God Almighty. You are the one that leads us and guides us. All we have to do is listen. All we have to do is grab your hand that is there for us. You're waiting with open arms, Lord. I pray for each and every person listening to church today that they would understand this in a new way, that they would open their hearts to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So every Sunday we collect an offering, and it's the way we support this ministry, and literally we could not do it without your support. So
thank you very much. And how do we do that?
We have three different ways that you can support this ministry. You want to go through and talk about them?
Yes, we have a Venmo account, Robert Schuller Ministries. You can see on the screen right now, Robert has the QR code there. If you're watching on a laptop or a desktop or maybe your TV, your smart TV, you can use your cell phone to shoot that little QR code, meaning take a photo of it, obviously. Or perhaps you'd like to give through the website, and that's the QR code to the right of the screen. And if you cannot do that right now, if that's impossible, you can go to drschuller.org after the service, drschuller. I say that because of the closed captioning.
We haven't said that at all this morning.
No, and we have people that have to watch the closed captioning because they can't hear. So it's drschuller.org or robertschullerministries.org. Keeping in mind that it's Robert Schuller Ministries, all one word, .org. And in the upper right-hand corner, it says, "I'd like to give." And that will take you very quickly through a short process in a secure way of giving. And if you don't like that, those two ways, you can scroll to the bottom of the homepage at our website and you can see our address there. And it's Robert Schuller Ministries, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Do you have a, you know what? We should probably add a slide.
It's right there.
Oh, I can't see.
Right above Dr. Schuller.
Teeny tiny. Maybe you can see it. On yeah. We should maybe make it a little bigger. So. Anyway, for old people who can't read.
I'll do that.
Yeah, so those are the ways you can give. You know, God will bless you for what you're able to give, for what you feel called in your heart to give. If you don't give to this church, please give to another church. We all have other charities we support, but churches need your support more than ever. There are powers that be that are trying to close churches, that are trying to shut the word of God down, that are trying to take God out of. Yeah, they're doing a pretty darn good job.
So China is bulldozing down churches and imprisoning people.
Hard to believe.
There are other countries that are doing the same thing. The persecutions, Christian persecution around the world is worse today than it's been in the last, than in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. It's horrendous. It's evil. But we just pray for them. And thank God for our freedom here in the United States and in most of the Western world.
Yeah, so please support a church that stands up for these things that are going on, that doesn't ignore them, that doesn't sweep them under the carpet, because God wants us to be educated, right? He wants us to be curious, to find out as much as we can about what's going on in the world. The world's shrunk because of the internet and all the ways we communicate with people. But we thank you for what you're able to give. And remember, you can never outgive God. I promise you that's true. And we don't necessarily mean financially. It's not like you're going to put $10 in the offering plate and tomorrow you're going to get 20. But you are going to get a blessing of some kind. Absolutely, I promise you. In your relationships, your job opportunities, in your families. I'm not sure what it is. And oftentimes you do get rewarded financially. It just happens because it's just, those are part of God's promises. Just give it, will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing in your life. And I promise you, that is real. Anyway, okay, you're up. Continue to tell us about the words of the
I ams of Jesus. Yeah, I will. So let me get my Bible opened up here. There we go. I'm going to move over here and get some notes here. And adjust the camera a little bit there. It's cut my head off. And there we go. Oh, well, still going to cut my head off. That's the way it goes. So in Donna read for us the passage of scripture that we have here from John chapter 10, the first 10 verses. And in that passage, Jesus talks about being the door. I am the door, he says. The door to the sheepfold. Now, what does he mean when he says, I am the door to the sheepfold? Let me give you an illustration, a picture of exactly what that means. Here is a sheepfold. It's a bunch of rocks. And you can see the rocks there. And to the left of, if you're... you can see a space where the sheep go in and out to the top of the screen there, and they're then kept in this area. This is an actual shepherd in the shepherd's field in Bethlehem. And this is, and Jesus is saying, I am the door. So what does it mean when he says, I am the door? What the shepherd will do is he will lay in that doorway, in that opening within the rocks, so that the sheep cannot come or go without him allowing them to come in or to go out. So that's how the sheepfold is. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the door to the sheepfold. In many places in Israel, especially in the time of Jesus, the sheep were kept in caves. And so then they would have a wall of stones across the front of the cave. And again, he would lay in front of the doorway. And that was the way the sheep got in and out of the cave, only by going through that door. Now, I have to take you back and give the historical context as far as what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the door. In order to go back, what we have to do is go back to chapter 9. In John chapter 9, the entire chapter deals with the man who was born blind, and Jesus went and made some spittle, took his spit and spit in the mud, and made some mud out of his spit, and then put that mud on the blind man's eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and you will be healed. And many things, this is a huge, amazing story in John 9. I've spoken on it many times, but the blind man had to have enough faith in Jesus to actually get up and walk all the way down to the pool. Now, the way Jerusalem is designed, you have the temple up on top of the mountain, then you have a main road which goes down to the lowest part of the city, which is where the pool of Siloam was. That's where everybody got their water. The water was brought into the city through Hezekiah's tunnel, and I could go on talking. I could go on talking about all of this, but there is a large pool at the bottom of the stairway and the bottom of the city of Jerusalem, and everybody went there to fill their water jars and get their water, and that's the only way people had water in the time of Jesus. They didn't turn a faucet and have water. They had to go down there with their jugs. And then they would usually carry them on top of their head, like a 5-gallon bucket or a jar of water, and carry it back up to their homes. That's the way it was. So Jesus tells the blind man to go down to this pool and wash. And lest you think it's really gross that the water is not necessarily sanitary, even though it is coming out of a fresh spring and the spring is flowing through this water all the time. So it is fairly clean, but people are still in there with their hands and their buckets and their jars getting all the water. So everything had to be boiled. They didn't just drink water unless it was either boiled or mixed with wine. So the alcohol in the wine would purify the water. Excuse me, I've got this nasty cough. So the man goes and he goes down to the pool, he washes his eyes, the mud goes off of his eyes, and they said, and Bible records, it was like scales falling from his eyes. Suddenly he could see. He couldn't believe it. He could see. And he went running and telling everybody, this man Jesus put mud in my eyes, and now I can see. And the Pharisees heard this. Here is this man who was born blind. And their theology, the theology of the Jews in the time of Jesus, was that if a person was born with a certain handicap, like blindness, or a bad leg, or a bad arm, or deaf, or mute, that it was a result of sin. God was punishing that person for a sin, not that they did, but the sins of their parents or their grandparents. And so God was punishing them. So this man was receiving a punishment from sin. Now Jesus comes along and he opens this blind man's eyes. Are you beginning to see what Jesus is all about? He is here to forgive sins. He forgives this man's sins because suddenly his eyes are open. And the teachers of the law and the Pharisees couldn't believe it. They're absolutely dumbfounded by this. So they call in his parents. Why do they call in his parents? Because his parents is one of the reasons why this man couldn't see, because this man was born blind. Therefore, his parents probably had something to do with it. And they question his parents. And here's the response of the parents. They say, "We know he is our son," the parents answered. "And we know he was born blind. But how he can now see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That's why the parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." What you need to hear are the words that the Pharisees, the leaders and the law and the of the Jewish synagogue at that time were not allowing people to remain in the church, in society, in the culture. They're excommunicating anybody who recognized Jesus as the Messiah. They became and made themselves the doorkeepers to the synagogue, to society, to culture, to everything. Here's Jesus. Then, immediately following the story, Jesus comes and he says, "I am the door. I am the door. Very, very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate through me, but climbs in some other way is a thief or a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." And Jesus is the gate. He is the one now who allows people in and out. It's not the leaders of the law. It's not the leaders of the temple. It's not the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It is Jesus. "I am the gate," says Jesus. When I read these words and I read 1 John 10, the first 10 verses, I'm reminded of the Sermon on the Mount, which we have in Matthew 7. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about these things. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer.'" In this passage of scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is letting people know that what he wants from us isn't our great actions, because nothing we do is good enough to be able to enter through the door. It's not a matter of our actions and prophesying this and doing miracles. As St. Paul said in Corinthians 13, you can have faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Jesus said it when he was teaching, "What are the laws, the commandment, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself." He doesn't care for anything except your heart of love that cares for other people and loves God. And when we understand that and focus on that and make that the foundation of our relationship with Jesus, then we have knocked on the door and Jesus will open the door. Earlier in Matthew 7, the seventh verse, Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." Ask, seek, and knock. So what we discover by Jesus saying, "I am the door," is that life begins with our understanding of knocking on the door, asking Jesus into our heart, into our soul, into our mind. And as we ask, he will open the door and he will judge us according not to our things that we do, but the fact that we came in through the door and we didn't try to climb over by our own works, by prophesying, by casting out, as the scriptures say, doing all these things, but forgetting the foundation that we are saved not by works, but by grace. The foundation that God cares far more about our heart and the fact that we love others and we love him. He cares about far more about that than he does other things like going down to the clinic and feeding the hungry. Those are important things to do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't do that. But he is saying that if you don't love Jesus, don't come into this door, are your social activities of social, participating in social justice, trying to do all these things, aren't worth anything. He cares about your heart. He cares about the fact that you come through the door, you knocked, and he opened the door, and he brought you in. He put the mud on the eyes of the blind man. It said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man went, and his eyes were opened, and he could see. And then after the Pharisees went and saw this blind man, because they asked his parents, and they said, ask him, we're not about to be kicked out of the synagogue. We don't want to face this persecution. Go ask him. So they asked him, and he said, and the man told him exactly what happens. And then they became angry because their theology is all messed up. Wait a minute. You've sinned. You have to be blind. You have to be blind the rest of your life. You can't be healed. Jesus can't forgive sins. This doesn't make any sense. And yet he misunderstood them. He thought the Pharisees and the leaders of the law might want to believe in Jesus also. And he says, do you want to believe as well? Let me read it to you because it's so beautiful. And the man answered, now this is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. You know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this, the Pharisees replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. He was trying to invite them into the sheepfold. But the only way we get into the sheepfold, the only way we become part of the church of Jesus Christ, the only way we are invited into the kingdom of heaven, is to knock on the door. And Jesus is the door. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is there to let you in and to protect you from the evil that's without. So we come today to hear this passage of Scripture. I am the door. And so today I invite you to knock on the door. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And nothing will be impossible to you. That's what Jesus tells us. So that we know that the door to freedom and the door to success is through Jesus. And as we keep our eyes focused on him and on his will for our lives, we will experience the joy and the spiritual freedom to live life to the fullest with the full knowledge and understanding that it is through his grace that we are brought into the sheepfold and we are brought into the kingdom of heaven. I invite you today to knock. You knock by simply saying a prayer. You can repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I stand at the door and knock. So I pray, Lord, that you will open the door and allow me to come in and sup with you, to be with you, to be part of your kingdom, to be part of your church. And so open the door, O Lord, and then protect me from the evil ones that wish to destroy your church. Protect us, Lord, and surround us with your angels and with your power. And so we can move forward in faith, knowing that with you, all things are possible. So open our hearts and our minds to the possibilities that we have today to be used by you to make a positive difference in the world. So we thank you, God. We praise your name for everything, always and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. You're lying down and you're rising up in your labor and in your leisure and your laughter and in your tears until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God is blessing you, everybody. Have a great day, a great week. We'll be here next week. I'll see you then. I'll be talking about Jesus' statement, I am the good shepherd. That's next Sunday. Go to our website, drschuler.org. Support this ministry and continue to realize that with God, all things are possible. Bye-bye.